I'm going to quickly talk about what's going on at the state and national level in terms of stewardship, promoting stewardship. I have no disclosures. So I'm going to first talk about my program, the California Antimicrobial Stewardship Program Initiative, some of our activities and the metrics we're looking at, especially for you epidemiologists that might be interested. I'll touch on some of the other state and federal programs that are currently in place for stewardship, some of which have already been mentioned today, talk a little bit about the federal messages and some of the legislation that has been being pushed at the national level, and just make some conclusions. So let's start with the California Antimicrobial Stewardship Program Initiative. As was mentioned, California Senate Bill 739 was written and signed by Governor Schwarzenegger in 2006. And within this very large bill that mandates public reporting of our healthcare-associated infections in California, of which we like to report a lot of them. If any of you are from California, you now can get any information on 29 surgical site infections from any hospital in the state of California through us. So we like to keep ourselves busy in public health. But within this very large Senate bill, there is one paragraph that specifically talks about the judicious use of antibiotics. So let me just read this specifically to you. By January 1st, 2008, the California Department of Public Health shall take all of the following actions to protect against healthcare-associated infections in general acute care hospitals statewide. And number four under that stipulates that that we are requiring all hospitals develop a process for evaluating the judicious use of antibiotics, the results of which shall be monitored jointly by appropriate representatives and committees involved in quality improvement activities. So what does that mean? Our interpretation of the law is that each California acute care hospital should have an antimicrobial stewardship program, or an ASP. And just to note, California is the only state in the country that has this type of legislation. So this is very unique to California. And let me take a step back and just define for you what we consider a stewardship program. We consider a stewardship program one that promotes the appropriate use of antibiotics by selecting the appropriate agent at the appropriate dose for the appropriate duration and via the appropriate route of administration. And I say that, and I know we've been talking about stewardship with Trent's talk in the last 15 minutes, but there's a real misconception that stewardship means restricting antibiotic use. And there are a lot of my colleagues, physicians, that don't like the idea of stewardship because they think that limits their use of antibiotics with their patients. So that's not the idea here. The idea is to ensure that our patients are getting the appropriate antibiotics, not getting antibiotics that are not necessary for them. So just keep in mind, it's not restriction, it's appropriate use. So our initiative was begun in February of 2010, and our goal is to assist all California hospitals and long-term care facilities optimize the use of antibiotics to improve patient outcomes. And this isn't a small feat because we have over 400 hospitals in the state of California. We're over 15% of the hospitals in the country, and we have almost 4,000 long-term care facilities. So, and I should say that the people that are doing this are just me. I don't have any staff that are helping us because of the dire straits of our state government. In terms of our activities, we're assessing stewardship programs throughout the state. We're assisting hospitals to develop and strengthen their stewardship programs. We're providing data for administrative buy-in. I've gone to multiple C-suite meetings to help the physicians and the pharmacists in that hospital get funds in their hospital for their stewardship programs. We're developing regional collaborations. We're also helping to write the regulation that essentially interprets the legislation as it stands now. We're identifying successful setting-specific strategies. For example, we're looking at long-term acute care hospitals and what we can do specifically in that group to improve antibiotic use. We're also looking at rural and small hospitals. And then we're developing some internal and external process and outcome metrics. And you can find all of this on our website. So I'm going to mention just quickly some of our ecologic metrics. So these are our benchmarking metrics. What the intent is that we'd like to be able to compare hospitals, not just by the number of infections that they have at the hospitals or develop in terms of healthcare-associated infections, but what about their antimicrobial usage and their susceptibility rates. So the first thing we have attempted to look at is the antimicrobial susceptibility profiles of all the hospitals in the state under the California Antibiogram Project. So this was voluntary data that we collected from 60 laboratories representing 85 hospitals in the state of California, and they contributed cumulative antibiogram data from 2008 through 2010. And what we did, since we're such a large state, is we developed some state and regional aggregate antibiograms. And the reason we did this is we wanted everyone to get a sense of what the bacterial resistance trends were across the state and in a certain region. And we're also doing this to raise awareness of resistance problems, and finally to help identify opportunities to reduce inappropriate antibiotic usage. And you can also find this on our website. The next metric that we wanted to look at was antimicrobial utilization. And Trent already mentioned some of this. It's very hard to get utilization data across hospitals. Right now, we have the CDC's National Healthcare Safety Network, which is a national surveillance system that allows hospitals to input the number of infections that they get for certain type of mandated infections. But you know, antimicrobials are much higher higher use than even infections in hospitals. So it's hard to get this data. So CDC's NHSN has developed this AU option, the antimicrobial utilization option, and the goal is to assist all hospitals in collecting data on antimicrobial use and/or resistance. However, because of the difficulty of manually entering antibiotic utilization data hospital by hospital, this option and this module within this larger surveillance system is limited to hospitals that have a computer-assisted software system in place. So you have to have electronic data capture to be able to participate in this surveillance system, which we know most hospitals don't have. But the idea is, out of the AU option, that you should be able to get antimicrobial days over days present by location and antimicrobial days over admissions, so facility-wide stratified by location. So this will be really interesting data for us to compare what our utilization looks like across different locations in the hospital. And then finally, it should be able to give us some risk-adjusted inter- and intra-facility benchmarking of antimicrobial utilization. Again, being able to look at hospital A versus hospital B and how they're doing in terms of specific antimicrobial use. But currently, this option, although it's available, is really limited in terms of the number of hospitals that are able to participate. We're hoping in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll have more hospitals that can participate in this option. So now I just want to mention some other state programs. This is the California Medical Association Foundation's Alliance Working for Antibiotic Resistance Education. This is called AWARE. And this is a program sponsored, I already said who they're sponsored by. They were developed in 2000, and their goal is to focus on outpatient settings. So my program focuses, or my initiative focuses on inpatient settings. Here they're focusing on outpatient settings. And their goals are to increase appropriate prescribing of antibiotics, raise consumer awareness and understanding, and mobilize the community. So if any of you are from California, I see some people that are, you'll see some of CMA Foundation AWARE's handouts and brochures in some of our pediatric offices. So they're really trying to educate parents and providers, outpatient providers, on the problems of antimicrobial resistance. And then I just want to mention CDC's Get Smart program. It's already been mentioned in pretty much all the other presentations, but I just want to make sure everyone understands what the Get Smart program is about. So the Get Smart program has actually three arms. There's Get Smart on the Farm, which really focuses on using antibiotics appropriately on the farm, like we've been discussing earlier. And then there's Get Smart, Know When Antibiotics Work. And this program, again, focuses on parents of children and really focuses on pediatrics and pediatricians. That's where they focus. And then the third arm is Get Smart for Healthcare, know when antibiotics work. And this arm is supposed to focus on the inpatient setting and thereby really looks at antibiotic stewardship. So the goals of CDC's Get Smart for Healthcare are to improve patient safety through better treatment of infections, reduce the emergence of resistant pathogens such as Clostridium difficile, and heighten awareness of the challenges posed by antimicrobial resistance in healthcare. Okay, so now let's just move quickly into the federal mandates and messages. So you may or may not be aware, but in September of 2009, the Department of Health and Human Services, along with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, wrote this very elaborate guideline called the Interpretive Guidelines for Long-Term Care Facilities. And I have yet to meet a long-term care facility that actually abides by 95% of what's written in this guideline. However, that being said, within this guideline, there is one specific paragraph that also discusses the judicious use of antibiotics. And I think it's really important to know that it's out out there. In this paragraph, they say it is the physician's responsibility to prescribe appropriate antibiotics and to establish the indication for use of specific medications. As part of the medication regimen review, the consultant pharmacist can assist with the oversight by identifying antibiotics prescribed for resistant organisms or for situations with questionable indications and reporting such findings. So in terms of the human side, this is the most kind of stringent regulatory language that we have out there to really encourage healthcare providers to use antibiotics appropriately. However, I don't think, and I know that many long-term care facilities are not even aware of this one paragraph, and certainly are not implementing it. There was an act that has been that goes through every cycle in Congress as well, called the Generating Antibiotics Incentives Now Act, or the GAIN Act. And this act specifically talks about incentivizing pharmaceutical companies to produce drugs that combat resistant gram-positives and multidrug resistant gram-negatives. And this year, when the GAIN Act was initially written, it did have this portion of antibiotic stewardship attached to it. So the idea was, if new antibiotics were developed, that they would have to have antibiotic stewardship linked. So we would ensure that those new antibiotics were used appropriately. Eventually, the GAIN Act was incorporated into FDA's Reform Act of 2012, and then later it was renamed into the FDA's Safety and Innovation Act of 2012, and it was signed into law in July of 2012. So this act actually reauthorizes FDA user fees to fund reviews, and that was really the driving force behind why this was even put together, and they were trying to kind of sneak in the GAIN Act into a part of this user fee reauthorization. So what ended up happening with this law was that they're encouraging FDA to quickly or expedite reviews of these four categories of devices and drugs. So innovator drugs, medical devices, generic drugs, and biosimilar biologics. The innovator drugs that they, let me see if I have a pointer here, the innovator drugs that they decided to focus on were any new antibiotics to treat serious and life-threatening illnesses, including resistant gram-positives, multi-drug resistant gram-negatives, including Acinetobacter, Klebsiella, Pseudomonas, and E. coli, multi-drug resistant tuberculosis, and Clostridium difficile. So these are the new antibiotics that will, if they address any of these specific bacteria, will be expedited through the FDA user fee program. Unfortunately, there was no mention of antibiotic stewardship when this finally went through into and became law. And there was lots of discussion about why that was. Unfortunately, the American Medical Association was very strong with not having stewardship in this law, specifically because of what I mentioned earlier about limiting the freedoms of a physician to be able to prescribe whatever they wanted to patients. So I think we have to do a lot more with educating our physician colleagues as well as the general public on why stewardship is necessary and what it really is all about. So, and then the only last thing I want to mention are the CMS inpatient infection control worksheets. So these are worksheets that are used by surveyors to ensure compliance with CMS's conditions of participation. And we were lucky enough to include some quality measures on this worksheet specifically addressing antibiotic use. And so there are five quality measures, and I've listed them here. The first one is that the facility has a multidisciplinary process in place to review antimicrobial utilization, local susceptibility patterns, antimicrobial agents in the formulary, and that there is evidence that the process is followed. That's a nice addition to just having a quality measure out there. Number two was that there are systems in place to prompt clinicians to use appropriate antimicrobial agents. So these are pop-up boxes that come up in your computerized prescription order entry system, comments in your culture reports, notifications from the clinical pharmacist, things of that nature. Number three is my favorite, antibiotic orders include an indication for use. So we don't often do that in medical practice where physicians just prescribe antibiotics and we don't actually tell anybody else on the treatment team why we're prescribing the antibiotic. It's for pneumonia for 7 days. So we're encouraging that very simple quality measure here, that there's a mechanism in place to prompt clinicians to review antibiotic courses of therapy after 72 hours of treatment. So this seems like everybody would do this. You get a culture on a patient, you don't know what organism is infecting them, and then 72 hours later you get the culture back, you assume that the clinicians will act upon what that culture shows. However, we know many times this doesn't happen. So that's another one of the quality measure. And lastly, that there be an IV to PO switch program in the facility. The facility has a system in place to identify patients currently receiving IV antibiotics who might be eligible to receive PO oral treatment. So these are just some 5 simple quality measures on the infection control worksheet that are currently being piloted in hospitals throughout the country. These are not citation level events, so you can't be cited if you don't have any of these quality measures yet, and it's not currently part of the CMS conditions of participation. However, I will tell you that in the past, when quality measures have gone into any type of CMS worksheet, eventually they just become mandatory. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to encourage our hospitals that these are the 5 measures that you absolutely should implement, because most likely these will be required by CMS in the future. So in conclusion, stewardship programs are essential in ensuring patient safety and limiting the development of antimicrobial resistant organisms. I think all of our talks have highlighted that. I highlighted today some state and federal programs that exist to provide resources in developing stewardship programs in both the outpatient and inpatient setting, but we certainly don't have enough at the state level currently. And CMS is encouraging antimicrobial use oversight in long-term care and is piloting these quality measures in acute care, and I think eventually these will become mandatory in the acute care setting. Thanks so much for your attention.